And we're joined this morning by Tim White of WPRI. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jim Vincent.
Good morning.
Jim, what's the status of police-community relations now that the public eye is no longer as focused on this issue?
Well, I'm not so sure that public eye is not focused. I think it's still focused.
Well, now that it's less than the headlines.
Less than the headlines. Okay, that's fair. I think the police-community relations in Rhode Island is good. It could be better, but it's certainly not similar to what's happening in Ferguson or Staten Island or even Cleveland. So we're pretty good here. We have had a number of forums. We've had a number of meetings. So I think there's a better understanding here than in other places. We're looking to make that relationship stronger and better. And I think that's where we're at right now.
And yet we see, for example, in the ACLU report that came out recently, the disproportionate rates of stops for black people. Obviously, incarceration rates are often cited as being higher for black people. I mean, what can we do to address these issues?
Well, in every department, there's some what I call bad apples that need to be either disciplined or taken out of the department. However, it's not easy to discipline a bad officer because he has protections as the Policeman's Bill of Rights or whatever. I think the police chiefs realize that they have a problem with too many officers that feel that they're above the law. They tarnish the badge and they disgrace the uniform. And I think that's where you have a lot of your problems with the disparities in terms of stops and arrests and what have you. But we need to pass laws. You know, there's something coming up again in terms of the Comprehensive Racial Profiling Bill. Last year was passed by the Senate. It was pulled in the House. And I think this year, if we can pass a comprehensive racial profiling bill, that'll go a long way.
Jim, one way that's been proposed to deal with this is there's been a lot of talk of having police officers or troopers wear body cameras. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, if it would work or not.
Yeah, I think I agree with the president of the United States, Barack Obama, who is in favor of body cameras. I think it would be helpful. The problem there is cost. But I think it's a good thing for the community. I think it's a good thing for the officer because sometimes officers are falsely accused. And if you have a body camera, it can hopefully show what really happened. And obviously, when the community makes allegations of police brutality, if it is happening, then these cameras will show that it is happening. And hopefully, the person will get justice. You know, you saw in Staten Island, sometimes cameras don't work because even though a police officer, you know, strangled a guy to death, he still was exonerated.
Well, everyone's being taped all the time, right? I mean, cell phones are ubiquitous and cameras are everywhere.
Yeah.
Has there been evidence really to show that it will work? I mean, Staten Island's a perfect example.
Yeah,
right?
I think in some cases it has worked in other parts of the country where, you know, it was brought in and police officers were, you know, disciplined because of their actions.
I'd like to turn now to education. Jim Vincent, there have been some state officials and others praising Rhode Island recently for improvements in the graduation rate for people of color, more people of color taking and passing advanced placement exams. I'm curious, what's your assessment of how the state is doing with students of color?
I don't think the state is doing well at all. You know, all due respect to that, I think, you know, students of color, the disparities there, I think, are as large as anywhere in the country. In terms of achievement, I think that, you know, we're in a crisis here in terms of black students. We need somebody that understands communities of color in terms of the next commissioner, somebody that understands what the school-to-prison pipeline means. I think that this next commissioner is going to be a very important person because you have too many people not achieving. You know, they're being left out and left behind.
You know, Jim, as you point out, we need a new education commissioner. Deborah Gist, the outgoing commissioner, said something interesting to me the other week. I asked her to give advice to the new commissioner, whoever that person's going to be, and she said her advice is actually to the people of Rhode Island to keep an open mind and study someone before rushing to judgment. And I thought that was a really telling statement, right? I mean, she's been sort of the punching bag of teachers' unions, particularly for her tenure here. Do you think that position is just always destined to be polarizing?
No, not destined to be polarizing. It's going to depend on who the next person is. I like to see somebody that has a lot of urban experience coming in that understands communities of color. In particular, I think if you don't, you might as well not even come because so goes the communities of color, so goes the state.
Jim Vincent, let's talk about diversity in state government. There's often talk about how little diversity there is at the state house, among state workers, state department directors. Do you think enough is being done to groom people for those types of jobs?
Well, I don't know if you have to groom people. I think there are people that are qualified already for any of those jobs, any cabinet position, any department head position, certainly a lot of the positions in senior management. There are people here in Rhode Island, as well as neighboring states, that could do those jobs tomorrow. It's just the political will to hire these people.
What about at the State House, getting more black people to run for office?
Always will be supportive of that, and I think that that should happen. But we have people that, you know, let's say are friends of black people. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a black person in office to deal with urban issues or deal with black issues. I'm not going to ever say you have to be black to represent my interests. However, you know, I am supportive of we definitely need more blacks to run for all offices, from the city council all the way up to maybe even running for governor.
How about Gina Raimondo's track record so far in terms of her appointments?
I would have hoped to see more people of color, especially black people in the cabinet. I would have hoped to see more on her staff. You know, it's not over yet. There's still some appointments that are yet to be made. We talked about the Commissioner of Education. There is the, I guess, the head of DCYF. Hey, she might surprise me, and there might be a black Commissioner of Education and a black head of DCYF.
DCYF, the Department of Children, Youth, and Families.
Yeah, then I'd have to praise what's going on there.
We're running short on time, but I'd like to ask you, Jim Vincent, as we come to the end of Black History Month, do you feel there's been any impact to the community in general from the existence of Black History Month?
I mean, there's always some impact. I mean, to me, Black History Month is January 1st to December 31st. There's no such thing as American history without black people in the history. It's the biggest, you know, fraud going out here that we have to have a Black History Month. There's no such thing as American history without black people. So to have a month, it's not a bad thing, because it just points out the fact of how that history has been, you know, more his story as opposed to our story. Or, you know, and I think that we should, you know, continue to have things like Black History Month, because it kind of brings community together. But I think it's almost insulting, the fact that we have a Black History Month.
Since the summer and the protests, the events in Ferguson, Missouri, there's been a lot of talk about race relations. What's your take on the state of race relations right now?
State of race relations is dire. Here in Rhode Island, the Washington or the Wall Street 24/7 poll or study came out with a result that Rhode Island is the third worst state for blacks in the country. Third worst in the country. So things are not going well for black people in this state. So, you know, those relationships are strained. There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of angst going on.
But is it worse than it's been before, or are we just talking about it more now?
I think it's worse than it was before. You know, I know when I came here 25 years ago, you know, I saw black folks, vice presidents and banks, and they were, you know, working in different companies. I saw a lot of black people that were working, well, I don't want to name the company, but, you know, today you don't see anybody, you know, and you don't see people in leadership at all. So I think we've gone backwards here in Rhode Island in the last 20 years. I think it's getting worse.
Why do you think that is?
I think people just don't care. I mean, I don't think people sit in a room and say, we're going to try to eliminate black people. I don't think it's that diabolical. I think we just are we're like the invisible people. We're not thought of, you know, as people. We're just an afterthought. You can have a meeting with 20 people in a room, not have a person of color there, and nobody will even notices it, even though the state is 25% to 30%. People of color and growing. No, I mean, how can you not notice that? And these are thinking, good people. Not even. I mean, how can you be so oblivious? But you see that every day here in Rhode Island. People that are good people, smart people, totally oblivious that you don't have, you know, any kind of presence of people of color, particularly black people, in the boardrooms, in meeting rooms, anywhere.
Jim Vincent, president of the Providence chapter of the NAACP. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And Tim White, investigative reporter for WPRI. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison.